On Mondays, we read from your email. But first, a correction. During our program on the military-industrial complex, it was stated that Lynn Cheney, the wife of Vice President Richard Cheney, is on the board of Lockheed Martin. Lynn Cheney resigned that position before her husband took office as vice president. And now the letters. Scott Bellows wrote in during our program on the rising costs of medical malpractice insurance with a suggestion to resolve the crisis. A certain number of procedures predictably will have poor outcomes, he wrote, sometimes the doctor's fault, sometimes not. The patients who suffer those outcomes need some financial security either way. We need to be discussing national no-fault poor outcome insurance that would give the benefits to all patients who die under routine anesthesia, suffer blindness during an RK procedure, etc., regardless of fault. It would remove the incentive from lawsuits while still satisfying patients' legitimate needs. Our program on Girl Scouts sparked memories from many listeners about the organization that influenced their lives. Here's one story we received. My two sisters and I were in Girl Scouts, and when my sister was going through my parents' attic, she found our badge sashes. My oldest sister, who has traveled the world and lived in Africa and Europe, had a geography badge. My middle sister, who lives in a log home in Colorado and takes care of mountain pine trees, she got the outdoor camping badge. And I was the only one who had the first aid badge. I've been a nurse for 25 years. Our program on the popularity of opera reminded Emily Shepherd of Detroit, Michigan, of the time she spent getting a music degree at a small university in Arkansas and attending the local opera. I was always amused by the number of times in which I would run into the same people on Friday at the opera and the following Saturday at the County Fair Rodeo and Demolition Derby. Both were excellent cultural experiences that can stir the soul and the mind. Another opera fan wrote from San Francisco, to defend her town's appreciation of the musical form, wherever it may go, I must disagree with the caller who said that the SF opera audience is staid. The San Francisco Opera has a long tradition of pushing the limits and really getting into some new realms of staging and story, not to mention wonderful singing. Of course, this experimentation can lead to some major disappointments, as well as some really wonderful breakthroughs. John Dooley, though, of Portland, Oregon, is not so supportive of innovation in opera. How many artistic mediums must we drag through the gutter, he writes. What's next, jello wrestling choirs and tie-dye poodles playing ukulele symphonies? Why is it so difficult to engender new audiences to respected forms? And John McElvain, also of Portland, Oregon, wrote in with a different concern about tradition. How will we know if the opera is over, he wrote, if there is no fat lady to sing? Well, we can't answer that question for you, John, but we can tell you where the famous phrase comes from. Joining us now from his daughter's home in Dallas, Texas, is Dick Motta, former coach of the former Washington Bullets, and thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Now, as I remember this, you were coach of the team then known as the Washington Bullets. You were in some role as an underdog, and everybody wrote off your chances, and you said...
The opera ain't over until the old fat lady sing. I'd heard it about, maybe a year or two earlier than that, and I put it back in my mind and never thought that I would ever use it. And this reporter kept saying, how does it feel to be in the championship? And we were one game away. And it'd been 10 years since I'd been in a championship, and I kept putting him off. No, we haven't won yet. We haven't won yet. And he kept on and on. And I said, well, it's like my old man said, the opera ain't over until the fat lady sings. And there were about 8 or 10 cameras in my face at the time. We were playing Philadelphia with Dr. J and their great team. And when I got home that night, my wife had seen it on TV, and she said, you know, of all of the dumb things you've ever said in your life, that's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. It for some reason, the darn thing caught on and went crazy. And then people wanted to know if I had originated it. I didn't originate it, but it sure got famous after I opened my big mouth.
Well, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Dick Motta is a former NBA coach. The Washington Bullets did go on to win the championship that year. And Coach Motta told us they visited the White House and President Carter stood up and said, where's the fat lady? We read from your letters every Monday. Send us an email. Our address is totn@npr.org. Please remember to put the topic in the subject line and include your name and where you live. Our show ain't over until the red-haired guy reads the credits. Talk of the Nation is directed by Chad Campbell. Our producers are Cece Matope-Fatope, Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, and Justine Kennan. Our production assistants are Brendan Banaszak. T.K. Dalton is our intern, Kevin Waite, our technical director, and he has help from Vince Muse and Mitch Eaton. Alan Silva is our senior editor. Sue Goodwin is the senior producer of Talk of the Nation. Our executive producer is Leith Bishop. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.